versus Blue fans, welcome to the Red versus Blue After Show on AfterBuzz TV with Rooster Teeth Reviews. We are looking at Season 16, Episodes 7 and 8, It Just Winked at Me and Recovery. Today we're going to be talking about Harryhausen-style special effects, the rules of the road trip, and
memory issues.
Right, thank you, memory issues. See you after the opening.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
I'm super curious as to how many people were just yelling when we did that.
Hey, Katie, did I ever tell you about my pet cat, Loki?
You've never had a cat named Loki.
What?
You've had a no. cat named Smokey. And I had a cat named Cloudy. But neither of us have ever had a pet named Loki. So don't you start.
My buddy has a dog named Loki. Super cute puppy.
I do know someone who has a cat named Loki. Her other cat is named Agent Washington.
That has to be a joke.
No,
please tell me.
No, honest
that's
to God.
Real?
That's real.
That's amazing.
Yeah. She was yelling for a different reason during this episode.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. We are the Red versus Blue After Show by Rooster Teeth Reviews on AfterBuzz TV. We're looking at Season 16, Episode 7, It Just Winked at Me, and Episode 8, Recovery. And where I have with me tonight,
Megan Salinas. Hey, guys.
And just Megan Salinas. She's wonderful. We're going to go on a road trip. We're going to talk to a time travel expert. It's going to be great. Did I do the cold open already? I'm kind of losing things tonight.
Did you introduce yourself?
Did I? I'm Katie Cullen. Hi, guys.
Sadly, Mark couldn't be here with us in the studio tonight because inventory full stole him because of E3.
He's doing full-on E3 coverage and has been, like, all week.
Mm-hmm.
Dude is busy.
That being said, though, totally jealous. E3 looks so fun this year.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho.
Anyway, I'll scream into the void about Kingdom Hearts later. That's for other shows.
After you get done watching this show, go check them out on Inventory Full.
Absolutely. In the meantime, we're going to start off with just a little news because we got a release date and a character drop today. For those of you who miss Ruby Chibi, it's coming back at the end of the month.
Woo!
The literal end of the month. We're in for June 30th.
I hope that at the end of this season of Ruby Chibi, we can do another conspiracy episode.
Oh my God, yes. And it's coming back with a slew of new characters, and all of them are named Klein.
All seven of them?
All seven of them are named Klein. And they all share the same body? It's kind of weird.
But
no, Klein's going to be great in Chibi.
I'm so
a
happy.
Cake butler.
I'm so
a
happy.
Cake butler.
I know that they released that little teaser. Did they drop any other names besides Klein?
Not that I know.
Okay,
of.
So that's the only one they've released as of so
yeah.
far.
Do we so have any? Far, all we have is Klein, but I know a lot of people are going, so are we gonna have Raven in there?
Chibi Tyrion.
Oh my God.
Chibi Hazel would be so fun too.
Chibi Salem.
Chibi Salem.
Chibi Salem.
That would be
sweet.
Can
you imagine?
I can, and it makes me very, very happy.
I just want a little chibi sketch of them using the weird tentacle communication. I almost called them heartless.
I mean, a little
that's
bit.
That's where my brain is. Grimm. It took me about three different iterations to get to Grimm. I want to see a sketch of them using them as cell phones.
Oh, yeah, like FaceTiming.
Yes.
The
evil FaceTiming.
Evil FaceTime. That would be fun.
Is this a group call? Do you have me on speaker? Do these things have speakers?
So, yeah, that would be so, so much fun. I'm just trying to think of, like, what other characters from I would want this season. And Klein's a big one. We got Winter, which was a big ask. So, I'm excited, though.
I honestly, whatever they come up with, I'll be happy with.
Yeah.
Because whoever they bring in, they will find a very good way to do it.
Yep. Yep.
I'm thinking of Neo with the signs.
I can't think of a single thing in Ruby Chibi that didn't delight me. There were some sketches that are better than others, certainly.
They bust out the Necronomicon and...
Yeah. Yeah.
For people
I'm
going,
so happy.
What? That is a thing that happened in Ruby Chibi. Thank goodness for negative continuity.
So, can't wait for it to come back at the end of the month. That's going to be a lot of fun.
And that, I think, is all of the news that we have for today. So let's wander on into the episodes. Mark, in particular, was very excited to talk about Grog the Cyclops.
I definitely understand where he's coming from. And I feel a little bit conflicted on this because he's absolutely right. He was so excited for us to sit down and watch this episode because he was like, they've tried something they've never done before. They're pushing the envelope. And he told me outside the studio just now that this is the sort of innovation he's been wanting from Red versus Blue for a good long while, because the motion capture stuff, ever since they started incorporating that, has been fantastic. But they haven't really pushed the envelope since then. That was such a huge innovation. It was so delightful just to see them moving. But we've gotten used to that.
Yeah.
So to try something new is very, very ambitious. And I fully agree with him on that front. However, my thought on this particular matter is big risk, big reward. But there's that risk factor. I admire the ambition behind this. It didn't land for me personally.
I thought the novelty made it fun, especially because these episodes hit me in different ways in different places during rewatches. The first watch is going to be different from the second, third, and occasionally the fourth if I like that episode that much. Honestly, I think I enjoyed it more on the Cyclops parts. I enjoyed more on the first watch than on the subsequent watches, because on the first one, it was fresh, it was new, it was interesting, and it was pretty wild. And I loved that about it. The innovation and the surprise factor were what made it fun. And then without that surprise factor the second time around, it's still a fun episode. And it's, I think, better than some of the episodes we've had earlier in this season. But it didn't land as well as it did on initial watch. Some get better with time and more watches, and some don't hold up. And I think this was one that didn't hold up upon second and third.
I actually appreciated it more on the second time around, because the first time around, even though it's fun, I was sort of stuck in the uncanny valley camp, like, pretty hard. So upon a second watch, that's when I'm like, yeah, I appreciate the ambition a lot more. And let's be honest, like, I will say, we're not really used to seeing faces in this series. I know that a lot of the freelancers and a lot of characters had their face reveals a couple seasons ago. But for the most part, we're still looking at helmets or aliens. Human faces are not something I'm super accustomed to seeing in Red versus Blue, because it only happens very infrequently. So to have something that's so uncanny valley.
Red versus Blue is the show where you can try something new and generally not give a fuck.
Yeah.
And that's a great kind strength. Of what this is. And that I don't think they approach it that way, but it's that sort of, if it doesn't work, it is a full-on comedy show and we can still just kind of roll with it. And we're bringing in gods and monsters. Why don't we have them bring in a Cyclops from wherever?
And at the end of the day, it's funny. Because seeing Gus stomp
in a mask,
it's funny. And the little comedy bits that they did with it were very funny. And then to have the Cyclops' wife come in at the very end, too. Those were all jokes that landed for me.
Honestly, the fisting joke got me both times.
It speaks English.
You have to start with one finger. It's like, oh, that was pretty funny. Buddy. Okay, Tucker.
You can't just stick the whole hand in at once.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing too, is we're 16 seasons in. If they're not trying new things, something's wrong. Exactly. Yeah. So even though this particular bit didn't land for me, I'm glad that they did it, and I hope to see more things like that where they're not afraid to take a chance like that.
Yeah. And I like that we got to see a little more of Atlas, and we got to see that he's not this perfect godly king, that he's a dork. Fine kill throws up the horns. Okay.
It makes me so happy he's not all powerful Zeus. He's kind of immature in his god status, I guess. I guess he's also just not used to things not working.
Yeah, I think he's very much accustomed to being large and in charge, and so it's like, oh, well, I can't kill you myself, but let's do this, popcorn.gif. Like, it was a funny episode. There was some fun writing in this bit, and I loved pointing out that, yeah, Sister doesn't know how the sword works.
Yeah.
Like, she's been out of the loop for so long that that's one of those, oh, yeah. So I like them keeping track of those little pieces of, does she have any idea? No.
No, probably not.
All right.
I'm the only one that can turn it on. Ben Chikawawa.
And just bringing back the bit from the previous episode about, yeah, they ordered me a new suit of armor, but I haven't gotten a chance to, and then we use it. Like, I enjoyed that part of it. I enjoyed this fight. It was a fun episode.
Yeah, it was solidly written. And when we shift gears talking about Griff, like, I love the dialogue. This is, yeah, so, again, King Atlas, I loved. I liked the action, again, and I appreciate the ambition behind this.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, swinging into the next part, Huggins and Griff. And I want to talk about the two of them across both episodes, and I'm going to pull a mark here and be like, I'm really sad we can't talk about the next episode, too, because this is the friendship slash road trip that I never knew I needed. And then they handed it to us, and I went, oh, I'm listening.
Huggins has instantly become one of my favorite characters.
Oh my god, yes. And I love that she was like, well, what can we do? Well, I can fly really quickly at the speed of light and time travel back to the present, but that leaves them alone here in the past. I could murder him.
With the
he
red
would
light.
Be easy to murder. wait, no. That's against my moral code.
And against the law. Stupid physics.
But just... I didn't pick up the exact phrase, but it was something like, he'd make a good murderin' or something like that. It was like, something
like
ridiculous.
He'd murder real good.
Yes, that was it. But it was just one of those moments of, you okay there? You doing all right?
I feel like we need to reach out to Joe and be like, Huggins, we have to talk about the inspiration behind this character. What went into her? Because she is... amazing.
Like, let's talk about Huggins.
Please.
Let's talk about Huggins for the rest of everything, because bless her.
She has Caboose's optimism, but without being held...
with actual common sense.
Exactly. Yeah. And she's also not really willing to be pushed around either. And so that's something I appreciate too, especially, and pairing her up with a character like Griff, who's doing everything he can to not incite that inciting incident and has failed at it miserably. It makes for a wonderful dynamic because she's just, it's kind of like Shrek and Donkey, but you know.
A little bit. Except Donkey's not Eddie Murphy this time around.
Yeah, no. I'm saying it's not completely like that, but yeah. It's that sort of character dynamic of, I have to go on this road trip. I don't want to go on this road trip. And here's somebody else who's super happy to be on this road trip.
And I love their weird dynamic. And I love that it goes from, I'm hallucinating, no you're not, to, I really don't want to be in this conversation, to... fine. Like, how long were our gaps of time between those bits of conversation, and how long and how hard did she have to wear him down?
That's a good question. How long was he on that alien planet all by himself?
That
still kind of a question mark, right?
On the
moon? Last season, yeah.
I think it was only a couple weeks.
I was going to say, if that's the case, you know, he definitely isn't...
He doesn't do well on his own.
No, so I'm not sure it took quite as long in between each bit as we might think. But then again, he's also exceedingly stubborn.
This is also true, yeah. But we don't know how long this season has been running. We don't... For a season about time travel, we have no idea what the passage of time is. Because the implication is that it's been weeks or maybe months.
Yeah.
But we don't really have any of that set down. Like, how long it's been since that initial attack.
Long enough for them to be missing. and long enough for Dylan to start looking into the fact that they're missing. So, again, I don't think it's been too long since Carolina's not super concerned about it. But, again, long enough for Dylan to start asking questions.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things where it's like, oh, the cat got out. Mm-hmm. Well, the cat's been out before. Occasionally the cat gets out for months at a time, but the cat always comes back. It'll be fine. That's kind of where we are as ornery cats. Yeah. But we also get a little bit more information on time travel and potentially the Pantheon from Huggins trying to explain O'Malley to Griff, saying that, well, when you'd go to sleep, Doc would turn into this weird other personality because weak minds are warped during time travel. And it's, I wrote this down, I have to find the exact phrase, because then we moved on in the episode and it really started worrying me. Time travel warps weaker minds, drawing them in by offering them the ability to fix their mistakes. And so we have Doc, who wants to fix all of these great big awful catastrophes, and also has his dead younger brother on his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And they become Shiznos, agents of Krovos.
Yeah.
Now,
Krovos.
Kronos is the Greek god of time.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking that's who we're dealing with. I think that's King
him.
Atlas, who he keeps referring to as him. I don't feel like we would have made a name drop like that in this episode after two episodes of, like, his protection. Oh, it's his fault. I don't feel like we would have had a name drop after the pronoun game if that wasn't exactly who we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. But I also really do think that Atlas's screw-up golf club son is our betrayer, is our, like, I'm just kind of sticking that one to my conspiracy board and putting the red thread around it because, yeah, he full-on admitted it. And we've definitely had things that have been like, oh, well, it's a joke, except when it's not. At which point I jazz hands it O'Malley.
Here's the question, though. Being a god or goddess or
whatever,
and being a god or goddess of time, or an entity that's outside of time or space, or an entity that freely travels through the time stream, whatever, you get a different perspective on time than a lot of other people do. And I would say in this case, even potentially other celestial beings do. If this is Kronos, for sure, if this is the god of time, and what is this god's intentions here? And is this all supposed to happen?
I would absolutely love for this whole thing to be, well, I just really needed to shake up all my siblings because they were getting really complacent. And I mean, you've seen Atlas. He thinks he's all powerful and he goes around smiting people and it's just the worst thing ever. So I put together a bullshit prophecy about the end of time, and I kind of made pizza not happen so you guys would go on it. And, well, they're thinking more about their role in the universe now, so thanks for doing the pizza quest, guys. It really helped my family get some perspective, and that's all I need. Like, Krovos is just the nicest guy ever and is trying to help his family go on this quest of self-actualization and is absolutely puppet-mastering in the meantime. Like, that's not gonna be it, but my god, I would love it.
Well, it's interesting because, again, we don't really know a ton about the state of the Pantheon at the moment, and what, again, Krovos's end game is here. What is he or she trying to, I think he, they refer to him as he, so, like, what is he trying to accomplish here by making them go on the pizza quest? Is there something time and space related that they and only they can stop? Or, yeah, is it just trying to get the Pantheon to be more proactive?
I legit don't know, and I kind of love it either way.
But
chat's saying that it's been a year. That this is how long this has been going on.
That's what Jack said when they arrived at the movie set. That's right.
Okay.
At least that's where Simmons and Sarge ended up in their time stream.
But time travel. Like, Oh, who even knows?
Wibbly wobbly, timey wimey.
Wibbly wobbly, timey wimey. Flip a table.
I'm just saying that I think because of that outside perspective of time, Krovos might not be the bad guy here.
Yeah. And we will absolutely have to see, because we know nothing about him aside from what we've heard of Huggins and the occasional him mention.
Can I also say, just like in terms of Huggins, there's something really endearing about her too, because she's decided like, okay, I need to kind of kickstart things into gear here, even though that means eternal suffering for me later on. She's very, very flippant about it. Like, ah, oh, you win some, you lose some. Like, she knows that in the grand scheme of things, she doesn't really matter if the entire universe is at stake.
Well, and I love that she very much balances duty and law with her own morality. Like, yeah, I'm breaking a whole bunch of laws, but this is kind of what needs to happen, and homicide is still illegal. Despite the fact that he would murder up real good.
It's like, I need to do the wrong thing in order to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Or at least in...
Do the wrong thing for the right reasons.
I need to do the wrong thing to make sure that the right thing gets done.
And then doing a little puppeteering of her own. I know where your sister is in this time. I can take you there. Company that isn't me. Yay! We're just gonna walk from Italy to England. Yeah, okay.
Again, their dialogue is like my favorite thing this season so far.
Oh, just yeah.
The two of them bantering back and forth. It's delightful.
It's that Parks and Rec screen cap again. Someone will die. Oh, fun.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Oh, that's delightful. That's so fun.
Someone Photoshop that for me, please. That would be wonderful. Y'all know what screen cap I'm talking about. It's a meme at this point. Come on.
And it's her first big assignment. Aw.
It's her very first job, and she's still getting used to her programming. Yeah, I will never not make Star Tours jokes.
References.
Yep, references that no one's going to get anymore, because they sure have outdated that.
Ah, the kids these days.
No, it's the children who are wrong. Or out of touch. All right, do we have anything else about their conversation that we want to talk about?
Nah, I mean, again, if it is the God of Time, then, and that's who we're dealing with, it will be very interesting to see how this Krovos is characterized. I'm kind of looking forward to that, because the other members of the Pantheon have been a lot of fun so far. So, yeah. I'm not sure if it will be exactly what we expect, or it'll be the complete opposite. I don't know.
Well, we've got another season and a half, season and a third. We don't know how many episodes we have this season, but we know it'll be fewer than usual, but they're longer. Yep. So we'll see. We have a season and some change to figure it out.
Indeed.
All right, and speaking of conversation, we want to bring the conversation to you guys. We want to talk to you on iTunes. We are on iTunes. We are under Rooster Teeth Reviews. And if you want to keep the show going, if you like us, if you want to hear more, if you want us to continue to get up here and talk about all Rooster Teeth things under the sun, one of the best things you can do is to hop onto iTunes and to like, subscribe, review, basically. Subscribe to the podcast. Give us a rating. Every rating except for 5 stars is broken, so you know that choice has been made for you. And leave a review. Let us know what you liked. Let us know what you want to hear. Just talk to us. We like hearing it. And, of course, if you leave a review, you do get a shout-out on the show. Do we have anything new this week?
I'm looking right now. Sorry.
iTunes is one of those things where it's like, well, we used to be able to sort the reviews by date, but we don't do that anymore because we're special and we've revamped. And if you leave an iTunes review in a store that is not the American iTunes store, please take a screen cap of it and throw it on Twitter in our hashtag RTReviews, because we have a tough time finding ones that aren't in the American store, because there's like 30 stores.
But they still count.
They absolutely still count.
Nothing new this week, but you guys will get a shout out on the show if you do.
They've all been lost to the time stream.
Yeah. It's good.
It's fine. We'll find them eventually.
They'll come home. Black hole. I shouldn't have mentioned that, though.
Don't mention black holes. They're scary.
They killed her parents.
Which is one of my favorite ridiculous. Just a black hole killed my parents. Oh my God, really?
Tell me your tragic backstory, Huggins.
Yes. Speaking of tragedy, let's talk about Washington, Carolina. Let's do it.
No!
Let's do it.
No! Rude.
So rude.
Ugh, so incredibly rude. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm doing okay. I'm in no condition to be racing. You should know that.
Oh no. I'm sorry.
I use this to hurt people. You know that. You know who I am.
I do want to, before we really, I guess we can dig into it first, but I have a question about this particular plot thread.
Let's do that first. Let's do the question and then wander into it.
My question is, Wash overtly brought up Loki. Mm-hmm. This is the first time we've ever heard one of his cats mentioned by name.
Except in the credits. And the credits, they're Arya and Skylar.
Yes. I mean, like, in terms of a line of dialogue. Which, yeah, that contradicts those earlier names. Now, is this actually a cat that was seemingly impervious? Or was it Loki, trickster god, who we may or may not have already seen earlier this season? Is what's happening to Wash right now Loki effing with him?
It might be. We don't know. We know that we have a trickster god in the pantheon, but he seems content just to hit golf balls into oblivion and may or may not be lying about his role in all of this. So,
I'll never tell.
Shrug. But the thing is, Loki has not always been Tom Hiddleston. Loki definitely has characterizations as a fool and oftentimes uses them for deception. So, giant shrug for those of you listening on iTunes. We just don't know.
Now, and there are other trickster gods too, but this one got an overt name drop. So.
Mm-hmm.
I like Anansi, personally.
Oh, yeah, and Coyote.
Oh, yeah, they're great.
Yep. But yeah, so we have Wash's cat, Loki, who oh my god. If your cat isn't a tree, there are better ways to get it down than chainsaw. And I feel like Dad was never a cat person is one of those things, like, I worry a lot. Because anyone who's willing to treat a small life like that is a problem, or possibly a serial killer.
I was going to say, I think that paints a much darker view of Wash's childhood than maybe he initially intended.
Well, the thing is, a while ago, I can't remember where it came from, but the going canon was all of the freelancers had terrible childhoods except one. And the going wisdom is that except one was probably York. Goodness knows if that's canon anymore. I mean, we just kind of pick and choose. But it's one of those things where it's like, I don't remember if it's in the book or if it's something someone said, but if it didn't actually happen in the show, you can just kind of toss it out the window a little bit because ancillary canon is malleable in this particular show.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Subject to change, for sure. But I'm just saying that, like, a story like that is pretty unbelievable, and I'm fully willing to believe that a cat like that would sort of survive. Like, I'm totally willing to believe a story about a cat surviving all manner of nonsense.
Oh, yeah. It happens all the time.
Because cats are crazy. That being said, though, I'm like, with the name drop, with the weird stuff that's happening to Wash right now, with the time travel, with the gods in play, I'm like, did you actually have a cat named Loki?
are you actually having memory issues because of a throat wound, or is this something else?
Or if, again, time travel, if Loki is, or Trickster God, is in league with the God of Time, then did Loki go back in time and be your cat for a little, for 25 years? I'm saying that these are all possibilities.
Yeah. Yeah, we just don't know. We might be barking up the wrong tree. We might be spot freaking on. We don't know the rules of this particular season well enough to be able to go, oh, okay, this. So that's a whole lot of we'll see.
Okay.
And kind of what I want to lean into for this is Wash has been having these weird memory lapses, and you know, there's conversation about, well, with an injury like his, that's not uncommon. Like, he got shot in the throat. Are we just talking about massive trauma? Because massive trauma, messing with someone who already has a pretty hecked up memory, all right, not unheard of. but I got shot in the throat and lost my memory is a weird sentence.
Now, there are a couple of things here, and this is why I'm willing to entertain the god interference stuff on my weird theory board.
The Charlie Day red thread board, yes, yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
It hasn't become a murder board yet. We got out of the murder fridge last season.
It doesn't mean it's not a murder board.
It might become a murder board. We don't
keep
know.
Keep in mind that one of those little tacks is still an urgent message from Locust that was not listened to.
I will say, though, Jax might kill a couple people. So
might. Has
definitely killed a couple people, so maybe it should be a murder board. Neither here nor there. It's why I'm willing to entertain it, because that doesn't seem like these memory lapses don't seem consistent with what happened. However,
Real quick, people are calling me on my biology. Throat wound means less blood. Meant blood couldn't get to the brain, which means less oxygen and damages the brain. Thank you, Lone Wolf. Thank you, Please Clap. That's a real good point. And Malachroma says that plus malnutrition.
Yeah, they were starved for God knows how long. They were tortured. Wash already has PTSD from his time with Epsilon, which
is the point where I kind of went, can we please stop messing with his memory? This poor man.
He already has PTSD. He was tortured and starved and then got shot in the throat, where, yeah, a lack, the blood loss thing could very well have contributed to brain damage. He could have hit his head on the way down, helmet or no. It's one of those things where I'm like, there are a lot of things that line up with that sort of thing, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't know.
Like, you just wanted to heck with Wash, didn't you?
I don't know.
To heck with Wash. Leave Wash alone!
Especially, like, it was such a gut punch, too, because he and Carolina, both this season and last season, they've been having some stellar moments together. Just great character interactions that show how far they've come since Project Freelancer. They're not the people they used to be.
Oh, yeah.
And they have a great dynamic. Whether you want to make that a shippy dynamic or not, that's up to you. But regardless, it's one built on mutual respect. And so to have this sort of playful old rivalry banter going back and forth, and then to just completely have the rug pulled out from under us.
Oh,
with
yeah.
That, what are we even doing out here? Gosh, Carolina, you shouldn't push me so hard. God. I'm going to pike now. You know better,
and
Carolina.
And did you notice, and it took me 3 watches to get this, but on the rewatch today, after he falls, the audio goes fuzzy.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't clarify until the end of the scene. And I was like, wait, is there something wrong with my... Is that my computer? Oh, my God.
I noticed it the first time, but it was really emphasized the second time I was watching it because I was wearing headphones. And I was like, whew, I do not care for that.
What a good effect, though.
Yeah, like, no.
Wow.
Definitely spot on.
I will say I'm a little bothered by Carolina's decision not to tell him that he's having memory trouble because... Wash has had to put his memory back together before. This is not a man who is unfamiliar with mental trauma. Like, if he thinks he's fine, he's not gonna work on anything. But if it's, no, there are issues, I'll tell you when they're happening, and then we can work on this, then he can start to recover. But it's like walking on a leg that you don't know is broken. It's never gonna heal.
I will, to play devil's advocate...
Please do.
I get where you're coming from. However, again, we don't know exactly how much time has passed for Wash and Carolina because we're jumping back and forth in time.
A year? Question mark?
It might be a year. It might be a couple weeks. I don't know.
It has to have been a good chunk of time because he's healed well enough to talk.
Yeah, for sure. He doesn't sound like the meta.
We were worried about that.
I kind of thought that that's where they were going to go with it, and I'm really glad they didn't. But to play devil's advocate, if it has been months or a year, she may very well have had that conversation a million times by now.
Gray made a comment about, you haven't told him.
She's like, that's true, but...
Like, Carolina has very much said that, she didn't want to tell him. He's the strongest spiritually. He bounces back. If he knows he's not bouncing back, I don't want him to know that he's broken. Like,
well,
she's been broken for years. Look, come on, girl. Come on.
I'm just saying she might have had that conversation with him privately one or multiple times, and he doesn't remember. And again, to play, if you want to show me the exact line of dialogue to prove me wrong, then great. I'm fully willing to back off on that. But to her credit, I'm sure they've had the same conversation about other things multiple times, and this realization has already dawned on her anyway. You could tell him something's wrong, and then he might not remember. And then if you're, especially if you're like dealing with like sort of dementia patients, that sort of thing, where you tell them, no, we've had this conversation before, and then 2 minutes later, the same question comes up. I don't think, Wash isn't nearly that bad, but I don't think Carolina wants to tell him he has memory issues, and then 10, 15, 20 minutes later, she has to explain again that he's having memory issues. That's a very emotionally draining conversation to have on you, the person watching this other person deteriorate and slip away.
But he's on the recovery. He is on the upward slope. He's not deteriorating. He just isn't getting better the way that she'd like. He's not getting worse. And so
this might be the new normal for him.
True. But if he's aware of it, then that's better. Again, we get back to, if he doesn't know, then there's no way he can try to fix the problem. He knows his brain is broken. Like, Epsilon did a nice little job on that. Yeah.
I'm just saying there might not be a way for him to get better. Like, this might just be how he is now.
That's possible. But her not telling him precludes the possibility of him working on it if there is a way for him to get better. Again, you can't solve a problem that you don't know exists. And that conversation with Gray made it very clear that she chose not to tell him.
I'm just saying, she might have had a conversation with him privately and then 10 minutes later had the exact same conversation.
The dialogue says just, they didn't.
Okay. I'm just saying, that's it from my perspective, is that she might have already had this conversation or is afraid that that's the way the conversation will go.
Just afraid that if Washington, if he knows he's a broken man, he might not come back, which is, again, where I kind of step back and go, please, you think he doesn't know he's broken? He put himself back together after Epsilon. He knows he's not okay. It's like he just doesn't know about this new iteration of it. Come on.
Line from Gravity Falls. You can't break what's already broken.
Yeah, pretty much. And this is what leads me to believe, because a lot of people have been talking about, oh, weak mind shouldn't time travel. Wash is pretty hecked up right now. What if he, guys, weak mind shouldn't time travel? Because they're tempted to fix their mistakes.
And who Carolina, would be tempted in this scenario?
And Carolina made it very clear that she blames herself for this because Wash should have had a better partner watching his back. I don't think Wash would go for the fixing your mistakes thing. I think it'd be Carolina.
Yeah, Wash seems to be more or less, like, I mean, memory issues aside, Wash seems to be more or less content with having made peace with a lot of his mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
Carolina, they're both still carrying them, but Carolina, I think after losing Epsilon and then having this happen to Wash, like, those are devastating.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So I can imagine that she, and of course, having lost York as well, too, like, there's a lot of temptation there.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure she blames her. She, in her mind, she might go so far as to be like, I can save everyone from Project Freelancer. I don't necessarily think we'll go there, but, like, that's a possibility that's on the table.
Well, and it's also possible that it's not a possibility. That's a sentence for you. Because we've already shown that this is the kind of time travel where whatever you do is
Bill and Ted rules.
Bill and Ted rules. Yeah, so it happened. You can't fix it.
You can't, but unhappen it.
That doesn't mean that she, there's always
But they don't
that
know
temptation.
That yet.
Exactly. So, yeah, and chat brought up, or go all the way back to save Allison.
Oh! Whoa!
Thank you, Please Clap, for garnering a better reaction than I've managed all night.
Oh,
could you imagine?
Oh, if she tries that, then she might be responsible for the death of her mom.
Oh, I think at that point we'd lose Carolina as a character.
Oh.
Like, there's no coming back from that.
I mean,
knowing that you would be responsible for all of that, especially since this is a comedy series, this isn't Game of Thrones. There's no coming back from that as a character. There's not really a way to recover from that. So that would be crazy. But I don't see that happening because you don't break your toys.
I don't know. At that point, Washlet's pretty broken, Katie. The toy was already broken.
It's fine.
Okay. It was broken when Joe got it.
Wash us all together with super glue and rubber bands. Let's be real.
But I don't think we'll ever go that far back. But,
no.
But
no.
But it is the situation that Doc is currently in. Mm-hmm. And like the series seems to be leaning pretty heavily on like, we're going to go to that moment, bare minimum.
Yeah. Of his brother. Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. Oh, that's going to be heart-wrenching. But yeah, could you imagine if Carolino did, was just like, I can fix all of this, guys. I'll be back.
Nope. Bad idea.
Bad idea.
And then
Wash
2 minutes later, hey guys, where's Carolina?
Oh. That's mean.
It is.
You're so mean.
I am. Oh. You know who I am. You're on the show with me.
That's so
anyway,
mean.
Now that we're in this nice little pain circle, we should probably make our way out of it. Do you have any final thoughts on these two episodes?
Just that this was great. I like that Dylan's back in the picture. Dylan and Dr. Gray. Like,
I don't think we'll get much more of either of them since we've left Chorus and Dylan kind of went... Nope.
No, Dylan made it very clear that she's sitting this one out because she's like, nope. Time travel, I'm good. We played that game last season. I'm gonna just take a breather and make...
It's not a science. I asked and was laughed out of the building.
It's not a science.
I love her so much. And I'm sad that this is probably all we're going to get of her right now.
Yeah, but you never know. Next season.
Yeah.
And I appreciate her coming back for this brief cameo. I hope we will see more of her soon. So, yeah, that's the only other thing. Just always a delight. She's one of my favorites.
Yeah, no, I've missed her. I've definitely missed Dr. Gray. Just having this conversation during an autopsy and not caring. She's wonderful, and I'm going to miss her, too. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. We have all of these wonderful characters that we can keep pulling in, and we will just have to see how the time travel shenanigans go. I think we've already interwoven our predictions / insane theories into all of this already.
Like, the last 20 minutes has been predictions.
The whole show has been predictions.
That's not really out of the ordinary for us, though,
this
right?
This is true, especially with these episodes. So... yeah. Where can the people find you?
You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at The Menguin. That's THEMENGUIN. I've got a lot of shows here at AfterBuzz. Voltron's coming back up.
Next week!
If you guys happen to be big Lost fans, or if you happen to hate Lost, I do a Lost retrospective podcast called No Love Lost with my co-host Will Link. You guys should go and check that out. And also, yeah, a lot of fun stuff on the way.
You can follow Mark on the Twitters at Mark B. Donica. He is also on Inventory Full, which again is doing a ton of E3 coverage this week. He's also still working on building Lake Lilac and I believe the Flower Scouts camp right now in Minecraft, just doing some chill Twitch streams for that. So follow Inventory Full PT, do all that fun stuff. If you want to support our side projects, we have our Tee Public store and we have Welcome to Vale.
Yay!
Which is our nice little... Night Ruby in the style of Night Vale podcast that we've been putting out. So check out the Rooster Team YouTube channel and check out the Rooster Team Tee Public store. There we go. Support, listen to it. We have been having an absolute blast with that.
Get yourself a t-shirt.
Absolutely. And I'm Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias, as well as on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. If you want to see the reactions for these episodes, those videos live on that YouTube channel when I can get them through the YouTube algorithm, because it has me in its crosshairs and it ain't letting go. Voltron is also coming back. It's starting up on Mondays at 7, so keep an eye out for that. And I will be at Anime Expo next month, so keep an eye out there. That's going to be a blast. Yeah. Thank you guys so much for watching. We'll see you next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Memory is the key.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.